one that I would encourage you to take your Bibles and dig in and follow along as we try to sort out what for some has been a difficult issue. There's been a great deal of misunderstanding about the topic we're going to look at tonight in the religious world, and I would urge you to really make use of this as an opportunity to dig in and study from God's Word. If there are any questions that you have about this lesson after we present it tonight, please feel free to ask me. I want to make certain that these things are clear in the expression of what we're trying to communicate from God's Word. In Exodus chapter 7, we encounter a situation here in the book of Exodus in which God is revealing that He is going to deliver out of Egyptian bondage the Israelites. And we read, beginning in verse 1 of Exodus chapter 7, "So the Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak to Pharaoh all that I command you, and your brother shall speak to Pharaoh that he must send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them.' Then Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded them. So they did." The Bible teaches that when God brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, in order to demonstrate His power, as we read in this text, He hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the Israelites go. Now, this has been a very controversial statement and a very controversial passage that addresses this. It is addressed not only here, but other passages in the New Testament will speak of the hardening of Pharaoh's heart and will speak of what God did to Pharaoh, particularly Romans chapter 9. Some have argued that what this teaches is that God actually made Pharaoh do all that he did. I offer a couple of examples to you. One, from a book written by Martin Luther called Bondage of the Will. He argued that God made Pharaoh wicked, that is, from wicked seed. John Calvin, one of the reformers as well, in an infamous work of his known as the Institutes of Christian Religion, speaking of Pharaoh and others who rebelled against God, claimed that God bends them to do His judgment, just as if they carried their orders engraved on their minds. He went further to say, "All the counsels and actions of men must be held to be governed by His providence, so that He not only exerts power in the elect, but also forces," notice this, "the reprobate to do Him service." In other words, Calvin is saying, even when someone sins, God is forcing that person to serve Him in that sin. Now, is that what the Bible teaches? What does it mean when the Holy Spirit speaks of God hardening the heart? This evening, we're going to spend some time looking at what is said about this event and consider what the Bible teaches about this matter of the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. Now, the statements that we find in the book of Exodus about Pharaoh's heart can be divided into four sections based upon how most of our English translations will render four different tenses with respect to the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. In other words, there will be some that will say God will, using the future tense, harden. Others will say the Lord hardened. Others will say He had hardened. And then others again will say He will. Now, I would just say in the onset that that may, in fact, reflect a little bit of doctrinal bias on the part of the translators. Because what you find in the Hebrew is that the Hebrew tense is a little more complicated than the way it is so simply put in the English translations. But for our purposes tonight, I'm not going to challenge that fact that you'll see in these four different sections the use of different tenses. I will, I have, so-and-so. For our purposes, we're just going to use that as a way to kind of simply divide these sections. The first section, which will run from God's instructions to Moses through the fifth plague, which is somewhat characterized by this statement, I will harden. Now, I would suggest one other thing as we begin our study, and that is the fact that while in the English, we'll basically have one word that's used for what it is that God does to Pharaoh, in the Hebrew, there are actually three different words. And I think that's a bit unfortunate, Because what that tends to do is create kind of the impression that there's this doctrinal monolith of the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. Whereas, in fact, in the Hebrew, there are some subtle nuances that need to be understood and need to be brought out. And we'll address some of those as we progress in our lesson. Now, section one here, as we look at the instructions that God gives to Pharaoh, we start off noticing what it is that God says. All the way back in chapter 3 of the book of Exodus, if you want to look back there, in chapter 3, verse 19, God says, "I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you," speaking to Moses, "go." Now, I want to submit to you right at the beginning that this demonstrates something to us about God that we have to understand clearly, and that is the foreknowledge of God. The Bible makes it very clear that God, Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10, is a God who is one, declaring the beginning from the end. Notice in Isaiah 46, verse 10, "the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, 'My counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure.'" Over in Psalm 139, in verse 4, there the psalmist says to God, "There is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." The fact is that the God that we serve knows not only what human beings are going to do, but He knows those events before they even happen. And that's what Scripture refers to as foreknowledge. Now, that's a much different thing than making something happen. That is a much different thing than ordaining that something will happen. It's even a different thing than utilizing that knowledge to bring about His purpose. Notice as we move further in the text, over in chapter 4, verse 21, there we find this first instance where the Lord says, "I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go." And I think in this declaration, we see what could be described as the determined counsel of God. Over in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, when Peter there is speaking of God's plan with regard to Jesus and what he did and how it is that he used the ungodly actions of those that crucified Jesus, he makes this statement. He says, "Him being delivered by the determined counsel," some will say purpose, "and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death." Now here we note that God, knowing how lawless hands would act in the circumstance, utilized those lawless hands to carry out His purpose. In this text, that is bringing about the death of Jesus to accomplish the redemption of mankind. Now this word that in chapter 4 is used and translated harden, in the Hebrew, is the word katzak. Now, what is interesting about this, and I think is important for us to note, we're not going to have a Hebrew lesson tonight, but I do want us to note a couple of things about this. This word primarily means to grow firm or strong or strengthened. Now, the reason that that's significant is there are places where this very word can be applied to the effect that someone's word can have on another. It can strengthen them or it can affect them in that way. I'd ask you to note a couple of passages that I've jotted down here that exemplify this fact. Judges chapter 7. Over there we have the instance in which God, through Gideon, would have 300 men that would be victorious against the Midianites. And you'll remember that this would be something that if you're going to go up against people in battle and you've only got 300 men, in fact God had sent most of the rest home, that would be something that would be worrisome to you. Well, God reassures Gideon by telling him to go down and to listen into a camp, the camp of the Midianites. And you'll remember that he overhears a dream that a man relates about that indicates, in fact, that they'll be victorious. And listen to what Scripture says in verse 11. It says, "You shall hear what they say, and afterward your hands," here's our word, katzak, "shall be strengthened to go down against the camp." Notice what he heard, the effect of the words strengthened his hands so that he could go to battle. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 16, when David was forced to flee from Saul. Then the text tells us, "Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened," here's our word again, "his hand in God." 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 7, after the death of Saul, David sends word to those who at one time had served Saul, and he gives them assurance. He strengthens them. Listen to what it said. "Now, therefore, let your hands be," and here's our word that is translated hardened in chapter 4 of Exodus, "let your hands be strengthened and be valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah has anointed me king over them. One last example, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18. There Nehemiah encourages those who are building the wall with the words of the king, and he tells them this, or it tells us this, that as a result of the encouragement that he gave, they strengthened their hands to this work. Now, what does all of this have to do with hardening of Pharaoh's heart? Well, it shows us in these examples that this word that is used for what God did to Pharaoh can be applied to the effect that someone's words have upon another. And I think it's very important if we're going to understand what it means when Scripture says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, the text that we looked at over in chapter 7, in the text we began with, says in verse 3, I will, again, harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land. Now, this word is a bit different word. This is the word kasha, which means to be hard or severe or fierce. But what's significant is it can also be used of stubbornness. And I think we see this in a number of passages. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 16, the people are told, therefore circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked. That's our word, no longer. 2 Chronicles 36 verse 13, of the last king of Judah, Zedekiah, it is said he stiffened, here's our word, his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord God of Israel. Over in Proverbs 28 verse 14, it tells us, happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who here hardens his heart will fall into calamity. And finally, Jeremiah 19, verse 15. God, through Jeremiah, says that Babylon will destroy Jerusalem because the people have, here's our word, stiffened their necks that they might not hear my words. Now, all of these examples show us that this word that is used in places for what God did to Pharaoh can be used of someone themselves being stubborn and exerting this kind of stiff-necked attitude of stubbornness and obstinacy. Now, in our text in Exodus chapter 7, God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land. Verse 4, Pharaoh will not heed you so that I may lay my hand on Egypt. Well, what do we see here? Again, we see God's determined counsel. He knows what will happen, and he declares the purpose that he's going to use that to accomplish, so that he might lay his hand upon Egypt. And notice this, the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt. Now, I recognize that this idea of the hardening of Pharaoh's heart is something that is difficult for us to really get in our minds and to really understand. It is a meaty issue, I would submit to you. But one thing that I would suggest to you is absolutely clear from these words that we see, verse 3, verse 4, and verse 5, is that whatever this hardening is, it is intended to cause Egypt to know that the Lord is God, not to prevent that knowledge. God is not doing something to Pharaoh that will make it impossible for him to submit, or making it where, as Luther said, he's just wicked because he's from wicked seed, or making it where he can't do what's right. Here, notice the text says, these things will happen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Well, let's move a little further and now begin to look at what happens as we see these events unfolding. Chapter 7, verse 13, Pharaoh's heart grew hard. Notice the last part of verse 13. He did not heed them as the Lord had said. Now, I want to emphasize this a little bit in these first few plagues because I think it's important for us to understand. What God said he would do is exactly what in these first five plagues takes place. Now, we'll see perhaps the significance of that a little bit later, but what we have to understand is when God says, I will harden his heart, he's already beginning to do that. It is already taking place. Whatever that means, it is already taking place. And I think we'll come to understand what that means as we progress. Notice, in response to this, look at what God says here in chapter 7. Right at the beginning, he said, I will harden his heart. Pharaoh's heart grew hard. Verse 14, the Lord says, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Now, what this demonstrates to us is that exactly what God said would happen happens, not only with respect to what Pharaoh would do, but with respect to what he would do. Now, let's move a little further as we begin to notice the reaction and the response and the results of these plagues. We're all familiar with these. Hopefully, all of the children here have been through Bible classes and know these plagues very well. But let's look just briefly for our lesson tonight at what it is that takes place in response to each of these plagues. Notice the first one, water being changed to blood. Verse 22 of chapter 7 says, Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord had said. He promised he would harden his heart. He promised that this would happen. It tells us Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord had said. Neither was his heart moved. Now, I find that interesting, because if it's not possible for his heart to be moved, then why would the Holy Spirit record this fact that his heart was not moved? But I think what we see here is that this is exactly what the Lord had said would happen. And this is what God had called hardening Pharaoh's heart. Now, we'll see why that's important as we progress. Notice, as we move further, the second plague, and that is the plague of frogs that came. Chapter 8, verse 15 says, when Pharaoh saw there was relief, that is, after the frogs had been taken away, he hardened his heart and did not heed them. Listen to this. As the Lord had said. Now, again, that's very significant, because this also is what the Lord said would happen, and it is what God called hardening Pharaoh's heart. Now, why is that important? It's important because it shows us that God saying, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, is equated here with Pharaoh hardening his own heart. The text tells us that he, that is Pharaoh, hardened his heart. But it tells us that that happens just as the Lord had said. So that is equated with what God calls hardening Pharaoh's heart. Let's look at the third plague, the plague of lice that comes. We see a similar statement, chapter 8, verse 19. Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them just as the Lord had said. Again, this is what God said would happen, what is called God hardening the heart, which shows us that referring to Pharaoh's heart growing hard is equated with God hardening Pharaoh's heart. Now, when we move to the fourth plague, we notice the same principle. In chapter 8, verse 32, again, Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Now, I emphasize that because it shows us that we're not talking about one thing at one time and one thing at another time. We're talking about the same thing that God said would happen, happening each time. What Pharaoh did at the beginning is what he does here with the fourth plague. He hardens his heart. He will not let them go, just as the Lord had said. The same thing that happened here is what happened before, which God called hardening Pharaoh's heart. And this shows us that all of these ideas are equated. When God says, I will harden his heart, when Pharaoh hardens his own heart, they are the same concept, the same idea. With the fifth plague, we see again, the heart of Pharaoh became hard and he did not let the people go. The same thing that God said happened, the same thing that is called hardening the heart. Now, what have we seen from this? As we look at this first section with these first five plagues, well, we've seen the foreknowledge of God, that God knew what Pharaoh would do. He knew that that Pharaoh would not let the people go. We see as well the determined counsel of God, that God had determined how he was going to use that situation. He's not making Pharaoh do something, but he is utilizing Pharaoh's response to him to bring about a certain end and to accomplish something. We've seen as well that God saying, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, is equated with Pharaoh hardening his own heart, with Pharaoh's heart growing hard. Now, this leads us to the next section, in which we look at the sixth through the seventh plagues, which are characterized by a statement, the Lord hardened. Now, I would encourage you, if you want to understand this topic, to spend a great deal of time in Exodus chapter 9. I say that because I think if you want to understand what this really means, there are an awful lot of things that are revealed in Exodus chapter 9 about this situation, which really help us understand what it means, because there are statements that are really clarified in chapter 9. It's interesting because I was talking to Chuck about this. One of the chapters in the New Testament that addresses this is Romans chapter 9, in which it talks about the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. So you want to understand Romans chapter 9, spend some time in Exodus chapter 9. Maybe an easy way for us to remember this. Well, let's take a look here at what we find. We've got the sixth plague that comes, and that is the plague of boils. Here, chapter 9, verse 12 says, "The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses." Now, there are some that try to suggest that God had not really operated in this thing yet. That even though he had said, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart," there are some that try to say he hadn't really begun to do that yet. It's not until this expression, "the Lord hardened," is that true. An example of this that I found is by a gentleman by the name of David Stern, who wrote, "Pharaoh was given five chances to repent in connection with the first five plagues, but hardened his own heart, and only after that did God confirm Pharaoh's decision by hardening Pharaoh's heart. God does not harden the heart of anyone but a confirmed rebel." Now, in this, you almost see an attempt to kind of take a middle ground. This isn't quite as deterministic as a Calvin or a Luther. It is basically trying to say, well, if you start off rebelling against God, God will go ahead and push you the rest of the way. But you have to start the process. Now, frankly, that is just as dangerous. Frankly, that does not take God out of any less a position of being the one to blame for Pharaoh's sin if there's ever some point at which he's making Pharaoh do something which is wrong. Now, sadly, there are even brethren that hold views that are very similar to this. And I think that we've got to be very careful about that. Clearly, God shows, clearly God allows rebellion. Clearly, he expects a certain willingness on the part of man to accept his word. Clearly, he knows what man is going to do ahead of time. But that is much different than ever doing anything that directly encourages or empowers or supports sin. What does the text say? I think the text shows that this is not the case at all. The text shows back in chapter 4, he says, "I will harden his heart." And chapter 7, he says, "I will harden his heart." And then, after the Lord has promised this, in chapter 7 itself, it tells us that Pharaoh's heart grew hard as the Lord had said. In chapter 7, 14, Pharaoh's heart is hard. So whatever this hardening is, this hardening which God promised, is in operation already in these first five plagues. Now, what does the text tell us here in chapter 9? Notice verse 16. "For this purpose I have raised you up," God here speaking to Pharaoh, "that I may show my power in you." I think we learn an awful lot about this. God, throughout Scripture, will raise up both the wicked and the righteous for his purposes. Now, that is not to say that God ever does anything that makes someone wicked. But God, knowing the behavior of people ahead of time, can, in his providence, utilize the misjudgments and the rebellion of people to accomplish his purposes and to accomplish his judgments. Now, I want you to notice, in regard to this, what God says, which I think makes it explicitly clear that God is not in a position where he's making anybody do anything that's wrong. Listen to what he says in verse 17. "As yet, you exalt yourself against my people in that you will not let them go." Now, think with me about this for a moment. God says to Pharaoh, "You exalt yourself." He says further, "You will not let them go." God, not Kyle Pope, not one of the elders here at Olson Park. God says Pharaoh does this himself. He exalts himself. And I want to ask the question. If God's hardening of Pharaoh's heart is something that prevents him from being able to let them go, then why is it that God would carry on this charade and ask Pharaoh and blame him or attribute something to him that God himself is doing? Do you understand? See, if it is that God is making him resist, if it is God and his hardening is making Pharaoh exalt himself, then really the text should be, "Why am I making you exalt yourself?" But that's not what we find. God says to Pharaoh, "Why do you exalt yourself?" And I think this is important. We'll see this demonstrated a little bit later in our study as well. Now, I said that chapter 9 really is powerful in helping us understand this. We move into the seventh plague, the plague of hail. And there's some statements that are made about this that I think really show what is in operation, what is going on, and what it means when we see this idea of God hardening the heart. Look with me at a couple of examples here. When this plague of hail is first announced, we learn in chapter 9, verse 20, "He who feared the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and livestock flee to the houses." Notice, what we're dealing with in this situation is a declaration on the part of God of what must be done, and then a reaction to that. Here we see that those of the servants of Pharaoh who feared, notice, the word of the Lord, they responded one way. But the text goes on to tell us in verse 21, "He who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field." Of course, you're going to have hail that is dangerous and hail that will bring about their death or their injury. Of course, if you don't regard the word of the Lord, you're going to leave them out there. And that's what we have in operation here. Now, I want you to notice what goes on here. When this takes place and Pharaoh recognizes that he has done wrong, listen to what he says. Chapter 9, verse 27. "I have sinned this time." Notice verse 27 as well. "The Lord is righteous, and my people and I are wicked." Now, in response to that, Moses, he sees that Pharaoh so often will give a little and he'll change his mind. He'll give a little and he'll change his mind. But listen to what Moses says about what is really the problem here. "As for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God." Now, what is the sin that Pharaoh committed here? Their sin is that they did not fear or regard God's word. Do you see? They were hardened by God's word. The sense in which God was hardening the heart of Pharaoh had to do with the sense in which his word was given to them and they either accepted it or rejected it. I think this is very important. This is something that as Christians is very important for us to understand. Most of us, I hope, are familiar with the parable of the sower, a parable which is told in each of the synoptic gospels, a parable which Jesus on one occasion tells his disciples, "If you don't understand this parable, how will you understand any parable?" And listen to what is said in that parable. In Luke's account, it describes the fact that the seed which is sown is the word of God. And one of the specific situations that is described in that parable is that of the seed that's sown among the thorns. And listen to how Jesus explains that in Matthew 13, verse 22. "Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." The difference in the parable of the sower, just as the difference with the servants of Pharaoh or with Pharaoh's heart, has to do not with the word, has to do not with what God does to bring about a change, but has to do with the condition of the heart. Just as those different soils were receptive to the word or had those factors that choked out the word, so the same is true with respect to Pharaoh. Now, that sometimes leads us to wonder, well, does that mean God's word is ineffectual? And I think that's a little bit what the Apostle Paul addresses over in Romans chapter 9. Again, if you want to understand Romans chapter 9, spend some time in Exodus chapter 9. In that chapter, Paul asks if God's word was ineffectual in the fact that not all of the Jews accepted Jesus as the Messiah. And he points out in that chapter that in the same way that God used Pharaoh's reaction to his word to show his glory, that is, bringing the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage, in New Testament times, God used the rejection of the Jews to demonstrate his glory, the wonder of the gospel, to make that known to the Gentiles. And I think that's what we see here. Is God's word ineffectual? Absolutely not. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." God's word is intended to soften the heart of the good and honest soul, the good and honest heart. But it will harden those that are rebellious to it in the same way that we see demonstrated here in the example of Pharaoh. Well, what we find took place, if we go back to our text, in chapter 9, verse 34, When Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more. Notice, in the same way that back in the first five plagues, on occasion it spoke of him hardening his own heart, here, even after we have the declaration that God hardened his heart, it says again, he hardened his heart, he and his servants. The word that's translated harden in this text is the final word that we'll consider, and it is the word kabed, which means to be heavy or weighty or burdensome. And what is significant about this is there are times that it can apply to what one does to themselves. In fact, over in 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 6, there are references made back to what was done in the days of Pharaoh. And the question is asked, why then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? Now, what is it that we've seen then in this section? Well, we have seen that God says Pharaoh exalts himself. We have seen that the Holy Spirit in Scripture declares that they did not regard the Word of God. We have seen that Pharaoh himself says, I have sinned. We have seen that Moses says that they did not fear God. We have seen that the text says that Pharaoh hardened his heart. Exalting ourselves, refusing to fear and regard God's Word, and sinning against God is what is described as having a hardened heart. It is, whether you're talking about Pharaoh or whether you're talking about our own response to God's Word, it is being hardened by God and by His Word. Well, the third section, and the last two are much smaller, but we want to look at the 8th through the 10th plagues, which are characterized in the English text by the phrase, I have hardened. And we'll notice here, if we look in chapter 9, verse 34, you'll remember that here, the very same wording we had seen in the first five plagues, it tells us that he sinned and he hardened his heart. But then the very next description that God gives of what has taken place, God says, I have hardened his heart. So Pharaoh hardening his own heart is equated with what it means for God to harden his heart and the hearts of his servants. Notice further, God considers these things the same thing. God does not consider it to be something separate that Pharaoh does and something separate that he does. Instead, this response to God's word is what God says, when God means when he says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And it is what Scripture describes as Pharaoh hardening his own heart. Now let's notice what we find in this text. We see here, this hardening, we wonder sometimes, well, why is it that God would even allow Pharaoh to have this kind of response to his word? You know, there are occasions where God doesn't permit rebellion at all. There are occasions in which God is very decisive and God is very active in punishing the immediate rebellion to his word. Why would God allow this? Well, in chapter 10, I think we have an explanation for this. God says that I may show these signs of mine before him, that you may tell in the hearing of your son's son the mighty things I have done in Egypt, that you may know that I am the Lord. Now, I think this is very interesting because what this suggests to us is that these things that God is accomplishing by allowing Pharaoh and the Egyptians to carry on in this way are things that, whether the Israelites realized it at the time or not, were really going to be benefits to them. Because they would be those kinds of things which would demonstrate God's power. They would be those kinds of things that would allow them to tell their sons and their sons' sons what God had done for them. And it would be the kind of things that would help convince them we serve the Lord God of all the universe. Now, again, I don't think the Israelites probably had a very good perception of that at the time. And this reminds me a great deal of what Paul says over in Romans chapter 9, verses 22 and 23. When he spoke of God enduring with much long suffering the behavior of those he describes as the vessels of his wrath, that is, those whom he had created, even though he knew they would rebel against him and they would not do his will, he endures that he might make known the riches of his glory to those that he describes in the text as the vessels of his mercy, that is, those who will regard his word. That is, those to whom he will extend mercy and they will receive mercy. And notice further what God says in this text. Chapter 10, verse 3. God asks Pharaoh another question. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Now, we ask the question, as we did earlier in the lesson, if God's hardening of Pharaoh's heart prevents Pharaoh from even being able to let them go, then why would it be that God attributes to Pharaoh what God himself is doing? But God doesn't say, why is it that I'm not allowing you to be humbled before me? God says, why do you refuse to humble yourself before me? And I think this is very important for us to understand. We move further. We notice the eighth plague, the plague of locusts. The text tells us in chapter 10, verse 20, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go. The ninth plague, the plague of darkness, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Verse 1 of chapter 11, God says, I will bring yet one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. God has a plan as well, a plan that he's determined ahead of time, a way in which he's going to utilize Pharaoh's hardened, stubborn lack of humility to his purposes. Notice, afterward, he will let you go from here. God knows what Pharaoh will do ahead of time, just as he knows what you and I will do ahead of time. And what happens? We see the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go out of his land. The tenth plague comes, the death of the firstborn, and in fact, what God said would happen, and finally, Israel left Egypt. The very last section, and we'll bring our lesson to a close, is really just kind of a small little section near the end in which we have the Red Sea crossing. And once again, we have God declaring, I will harden Pharaoh. And as well, we have the declaration that he will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. Listen to what God says. I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them. Chapter 14, verse 4. And then also in verse 4, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. Now, do you remember back in chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, we made the point that whatever this hardening is, it was not something that was intended to prevent them from being able to know God, but instead, this was to take place so that they may know that I am the Lord. The same thing is true here. Then chapter 14, verses 17 through 18. Indeed, I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Whatever this hardening is, it's intended to cause them to know that the Lord is God, not to prevent that knowledge. Now, what have we seen in our lesson this evening? Well, we have seen that God allowed Pharaoh to exalt himself. We have seen that he did so to demonstrate his power and to show Israel and the Egyptians that he was God. We have seen that Pharaoh hardened his heart by failing to regard God's word. We have seen that the effect which God's word had on Pharaoh is what is called God hardening his heart. And we have seen that God did not cause Pharaoh to sin, but used Pharaoh's rebellion for his own purposes. Now, it might be as you listen to this lesson, particularly if you're visiting with us and perhaps you have believed something different about this over the years, you may think, well, that's a how can he come up with that interpretation? That's some kind of new interpretation that to try to say this isn't God doing it himself. But I want to point out to you just a little something, that this is really nothing new. I found it very interesting to note the fact that some early Christian writers, shortly after the time in which the New Testament was completed, held very much the same contention about what it meant to harden Pharaoh's heart. Consider one, a man by the name of Clement of Rome, who in a letter to the church in Corinth writes, Pharaoh and his host and all the rulers of Egypt, their chariots and their horsemen, were overwhelmed in the depths of the Red Sea and perished for none other reason but because their foolish hearts were hardened after that the signs and wonders